Shmas.
David Rifael Dov Eliezer ben Tana Chayin, David Bornstein. So beginning the halachas of Hilchas Megillah, now that we start Rosh Chodesh Adar, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch begins by saying, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. When we enter Adar, Marbin Besimcha. V'Yisrael Sheyesh Lodinu Dvarim Im Eino Yehudi Yishvar Imel B'Chodesh Zi. And B'Chodesh Zeh. And a Jew who has a din, who has a court date with a non-Jew, so should make sure, see to it that it does, that it takes place during Adar, because in Adar, that's when we have a good mazel, when Klal Yisrael, good things happen for Klal Yisrael. So this is coming from a Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainis, Gemara says, Kishem Shev Nichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. So the Meiri actually tells us, what does it mean Kishem? That's the question. What's it mean Kishem Shev Mematim B'Simcha when it comes to Av? The same way we do that, we should also do it when it comes to Adar, we should increase. What's the Av teaching us about Adar? So the Meiri explains as follows. Meiri says, just like we know from the Maseches Brachos, the Gemara tells us, "V'kishem shemivarchim al hatoiv, kach mivarchim al hara." Just like we make hatoiv ametiv, we bless the Rebbeinu Shalom, we thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for good things that happen. We should also make a dayan ha'emes. We also thank the Rebbeinu Shalom, even though we don't see the blessing in disguise, we don't see how this is a good thing, but we still make a dayan ha'emes. So Meiri says that's the same thing going on now. So kishem, just like when it comes to av, we're memayit b'simcha, the same thing when it comes, we're marbin b'simcha. The problem with this, obviously, is that all the achrayim point out that it should be the reverse. If we're saying, just like when we say, when it comes to bracha, kashem, shem mivarchim al hatov, kach mivarchim al ra. So first you say the obvious one, I'm mivarch al hatov. So the same way, mivarch al hatov, I'm also mivarch al ra. So if that was the parallel, the same thing should be true when it comes to av and adar. It should say, kashem, shem nichnasim, shem marbin b'simcha, when we come into Adar, so too, we decrease it when it comes to Av. But that's not what it says. That in fact is not what it says. So that's a little bit of a problem in the pshat of the Meiri. What does this mean? Kishemshe nechnosim la'av mematim esimcha. The same thing is true when we're marbe esimcha when it comes to Adar. So Rashi actually has an interesting pshat. Rashi says on that Gemara there, Mishenichnas Adar, Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha, Amrav Yehuda Breit Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav, Kishem Shemishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. So why are we, when it comes to Adar, why are we Marbin B'Simcha? Says Rashi, Mishenichnas Adar, Yimei Nisim Hayu LiYisrael. There were miracles that happened to Klal Yisrael during these times. What Nisim happened? Says Rashi, Purim uPesach. So according to Rashi, it sounds like the Mishenichnas Adar is not exclusively Adar. Mishenichnas Adar is both Adar and Nisan, because we know that Purim, and on the heels of Purim we have Pesach, so it's generally starting a good season for us. So really, Mishenichnas Adar is not exclusively Adar like we would normally understand. It's Adar and Nisan, because Rashi says these are good times. Why? Because Purim and Pesach. Interesting Rashi. We know that there is a connection between Purim and Pesach. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara is trying to figure out whether we celebrate Purim in Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. The Gemara says, well, really, we should keep it in Adar Rishon because we don't like to pass over mitzvahs. We aim avir and all mitzvahs. So we have the first opportunity to do it in Adar Rishon. We're going to do it in Adar Rishon. Then the Gemara says, no, we're going to do it in Adar Sheni. Why? We want to make Purim as close to Pesach as possible. What's the idea of smuchin? We have two holidays, we want them to be closer to each other. So the Achronim explained that the miracles that took place on Pesach, the miracles of the Nisim Giluyim that took place on Pesach, those help us learn what was going on in Purim. In Purim, it was obviously Nisim Nistarim, they were hidden miracles. So we might not realize that there are miracles until we come to Pesach. And in Pesach, it's so clear that God is orchestrating everything. There are Nisim Gluyim. So from Pesach, one could deduce when it comes to Purim that the same thing was going on. So Lismol Geula Geula is that we try to make it as close as possible to Pesach. So Pesach will help us reflect back on Purim and realize that wasn't just the chance. It wasn't Teva taking control, but rather it was the Rebbeinu Shalom, just like the Rebbeinu Shalom did when it came to Pesach. The same thing is true when it comes to Purim. So, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. Why is this true? Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. We have a Yom Tiv of Pesach. We don't say Mishenichnas Nisan, according to most Rishonim. It's not Mishenichnas Marbin B'Simcha. We have a Yom Tiv of Chanukah. We don't say Mishenichnas Kislev, Marvim Simcha. When it comes to the holiday, so you celebrate the holiday. It comes to Tesvav, it comes to the date of Purim, wherever you might live. So we celebrate the holiday. Why is it Mishan Nichnas Adar Marvim Besimcha? Why are we making the whole month into Marvim Besimcha? It's not a thing, anything that happened in the month. It's something that happened on this specific day. This was the miracle of this day. So why is it the whole? Why does it take over? Why does it consume the whole month? To make this question a little bit stronger, if you take a look at the beginning of Meseches Megillah, we know the Mishnah begins Meseches Megillah by saying that there are many different days that one could read the Megillah. The Gemara goes through all the different dates that it's possible to read. The Gemara, in fact, sounds like, the Gemara says that the reason why we could lay in on all these different days, as we know, because people that lived in cities, they didn't have a balkari, they would have to go in, so we didn't want to make them travel. All sorts of reasons why you're able to lay in the Megillah a whole group of days. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says the Chacham can't just make these takanas unless originally, when Mordechai and Esther, when Anshei Knesset HaGedolah established the Yom Tov of Purim, they had in mind that it could be read in all these days. Because a later Bezdin is not going to come and make a takana and uproot the din of an earlier Bezdin. So it must be that the original Bezdin already said that you could do it on a whole group of days. They said Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tesvav. They already said from the get-go that you could lay in the Megillah on so many days. But why would they say that you could lay in on so many days? The days happen on a particular day. That should be the day we're laying the Megillah. So already you see that it's not a specific day, it's a whole group of days that we're willing to broaden the miracle. Not only that, the Yerushalmi tells us, the Shita of Rav Nassan, a fascinating Chiddush of Rav Nassan that says, that again, we don't pass like this, the Yerushalmi brings a Shita of Rav Nassan that Be'ikra Din, a person could lay the Megillah on any day of Adar. Any day of Adar, and he'd be Yotzi. So already you see, again, that it's not a Yom Tov which is limited to Purim, the day of Purim itself. It seems to be a Yom Tov which consumes the whole month. But how do we understand this? Why is that true? Why is it a Yom Tov which consumes the whole month? Again, this is reflected to us in Din just from this halacha, Misha Nichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. That's the only halacha that we have. But at the end of the day, it's different than all other Nisim that happened to us. Misha Nichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. So we have to understand, why is the Yom Tov of Purim, why is it something which takes a hold of the entire month? What, something which you don't see is true with regards to the other Yom Tov. We know we don't say Tachan during Nisan, but we don't say there's no din of Misha Nichnas Nisim Marbim Besimcha because a miracle happened to us. So why specifically when it comes to when it comes to Purim? This again is reflected not only in the Chazals that I pointed out, but it's reflected in the Psukim as well. If you take a look closely in the Psukim in Megillas Esther, the Psukim already said, "V'hachoydesh asher nepach lehem miyogel lesimcha." It doesn't focus on the day. It doesn't say that Yom, the day which was destined to be a fateful day, turns to Simcha. It says, "V'hachodesh asher hayu lehem," the month which was destined to be a terrible month, that's the month which it got flipped around. So again, you see that it's the month of Adar which is significant, not specifically the day of Purim. But why is this the case? Why would this be so? So perhaps we could explain based on a comment of the Vilna Gaon and other Achronim as well. They make a very similar comment. And they say, what's the nature of the Yom Tov of Purim? What are we celebrating when it comes to Yom Tov of Purim? So we know that the Yom Tov of Purim is unique, mostly in the fact that it was a Nes Nistar, as we said before. It wasn't a Nes Nigla. The rules of Teva, at least the way we perceive them, were not suspended. But everything worked out for us, working with the laws of nature. So it was a Nes Shebeteva, and that is something which was unique in Klal Yisrael's history. This is the only first time, the only time that we commemorate such a thing, and that's the uniqueness of the Yom Tov of Purim. So it explains the Vilna Gaon as follows. Al-Kain Karu Le-Yomim Ha'Eila Purim Al-Shem Ha-Pur. Why are we calling this Yom Tov Purim Al-Shem Ha-Pur? Because of the lots that Mordechai drew. Says the Vilna Gaon, Al-Shem Ha-Nes She-Hofach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Kol Ha-Mazalos Shazehu Iker Hanes. Because even though we didn't see the unique aspect of this Nes, we didn't see God switching around anything when it came to this miracle. From our perspective, everything stayed the same. But behind the scenes, a lot had to change. Behind the scenes, the Rebbeinu Shem was orchestrating all the events. And the mazal, what would have happened in the natural teva of the mazalas, so the Rebbeinu Shem did have to switch those. So he does switch around the teva, the way that the mazal is running the teva, those had to be changed. Yes, we don't perceive that. But still, that doesn't mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam wasn't actively involved in it. So when we celebrate Purim, what we're celebrating is that sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam gets actively involved in a way that we can't see it. We are not zocheh to be seeing it, but that shouldn't make us believe that he's not getting involved. He is switching things around. He's even switching around the normal natural order of things, but it's not the natural order which we perceive. It's the natural order of the mazalos. Explains the Vilna Gaon, that is what the Yom Tov of Purim is about. Other Achorim explained it very similarly. Ikra HaNesh B'Megillah HaZeh, Asher L'chora Lo Nira Nes Mefursam Yotzi Chutz L'Teva. We didn't see anything go out of the ordinary. U'mizeh Nira Sheyachol L'Shadeid Ma'areches V'Hovri HaShemayim K'mo Ken Kan. He's able to switch around the mazalos, everything that's supposed to happen in the world of the mazalos. The Ribbono Shel Olam orchestrates that affects what happens in this world, and everything is turned around on its head without us even noticing even a little bit. So the nes of Purim is exactly that. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam gets involved. He gets involved in the details, gets involved actively, doesn't let Teva control what should happen, but still we're not able to perceive it. If that's the case, so explains with Simcha Zisal Brody, the old Rosh Yeshiva, former Shiva of the Chevron Yeshiva as follows. If that's what we're celebrating on Purim, so it makes a lot of sense that we would celebrate this for the entirety of the month. It wouldn't simply be a Yom Tov which we're celebrating on a specific day, but it's a Yom Tov which consumes the entire month. Because we know that the mazalos go with regard they correspond to each month. That means that if the Ribbono Shel Olam was changing around the mazalos, so that means that what was the mazal of Adar, what should have happened in the month of Adar, that had to be changed. If that's the case, so then it's really the entire month of Adar that was switched around, and therefore the miracle relates to the entire month of Adar. He says as follows, Achein lefi ha-mevuer, sheb Yeshua's ha-purim nizgala ha-ashkocha v'derech ha-nister. We see that the Ribbono Shel Olam gets involved in a secretive way, in a way that we can't detect. Shemitoch osa hanhogas mazalo sivva ha-ashkocha, limtzo derech b'mazal chodesh Adar. He found a way in the mazalos of Chodesh Adar, lehatzel as am Yisrael mekeven sheba Adar lo lad Moshe. Based on this, we could understand what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara says that Haman HaRasha thought that Adar was a good month. Why did Haman HaRasha think that Adar was a good month? Because Moshe Rabbeinu died in the month of Adar. So he thought that was a good month. What does the Gemara say? Little did he know that Moshe Rabbeinu was also born in that month. So all the Achrenim asked that question. First of all, what is this, a game that something bad happened, something good happened? Okay, so it could go either way, so we just cancel each other out. And furthermore, they say if he went so far to know when Moshe Rabbeinu's Yertzeit was, so it probably should not have been so hard to figure out when he was born. What was holding back Haman from realizing this? So I would explain as follows, that of course Haman understood when Moshe Rabbeinu would die, and Haman understood when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. But he said at the end of the day, something bad happened this month to Klal Yisrael, so it's a bad time for Klal Yisrael. They lost their leader. Perhaps that was even the latest thing that happened. It was a bad thing. But what he didn't realize is that he thought, that's all when you're going with the rules of Teva. So you want to see a month which has bad luck for Klal Yisrael, so it must be the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was taken away. But we know that when a tzaddik dies, and he dies and his yomim are shleimim, and he dies on his birthday, so that wasn't a chance of Teva. That wasn't that Ribbono Shel Olam let Teva take control. It was the Ribbono Shel Olam was orchestrating everything to make sure that his life was going to be a full life. So what does it mean when we say that he was born on this? It doesn't mean that happened to be. We got a good thing as well. He was born on that day of Adar as well. No, it means that his death wasn't a negative thing. If he was born on that day and he died on that day, so the death wasn't a negative thing at all. That means that the tzaddik lived out his entire life. That was a positive thing. So exactly what Haman thought was a negative thing was a sign that the Ribbono Shel Olam was letting the Teva could take control, that the mazalos were taking control, and clearly this was a mazal which was bad for Klal Yisrael. That itself shows that no, the Ribbono Shel Olam was orchestrating this and getting involved to begin with, and he wasn't letting the mazalos take control. It wasn't simply that Moshe Rabbeinu had to die in the month of Adar. He had to die on the day that he was born to show the completeness of his life, and through that we see that the the month of Adar is not a month which is going to bring about calamity, as Haman had thought on Klal Yisrael, but it's a month which brings tremendous fortune for Klal Yisrael.